You see, that's what salvation does.
Amen.
It doesn't turn things upside down. It actually turns things the right way up. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to continue with this series. We took a break for a couple of weeks. We're dealing with election and sanctification of the Spirit. We've been doing a series on the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, or how God the Holy Ghost works in a life to bring them to a place of real salvation. How he works in that life. But tonight we're coming down to the end of this series, and I want to deal with election and sanctification of the Spirit. I'm not talking about a national election. I'm not talking about a political election. I'm talking about an election that only happens in the Church of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. And it simply says there, Peter writing, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Your word is so clear and it's so real, so simple. You can even reveal and open up mysteries that were hidden from our eyes in eternity past. Lord God, it's your Holy Spirit who comes to reveal that the Father and the Son spoke about us in eternity past. Lord God, only your Holy Spirit can reveal these things and make them real unto our hearts. And my God, tonight we're asking, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would rest upon this meeting, Lord God, to reprove or to reveal the sin of hearts. We know, Lord God, it's not a work of religion or church to do that, but your Holy Spirit reveals to a man and a woman that they're a sinner, they're lost on their way to hell. Lord God, it's only your Holy Spirit reveals that he might bring us to the blood, that he might reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he might save us and forgive us and wash us and make us clean. Lord God, but tonight I ask, oh God, will you open up the heavens? Will you open up eternity? Lord God, I'm asking for every saint in this room. If they don't know their election, I pray, oh God, that they're going to give diligence tonight. Lord God, to give you no rest until they know, Lord God, that you had a plan in eternity past. My God, if there's anyone unsaved in this room, Lord God, will you convict them and draw them? Lord God, I ask that you come out of eternity. Lord God, that you reveal that love that was in your heart, my God, before creation. Lord God, before you put Adam and Eve in the garden. Lord God, I ask, my Heavenly Father, will you reveal your love in this room tonight? Lord God, will you reveal it in such a way that you can draw sinners unto yourself in the mighty name of Jesus? We love you and praise you tonight. And we thank you for your word. Let it illuminate our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. My message, election and sanctification of the Spirit. As we've dealt in other lessons, and as we see in the verses we've just read here, we see that in the life of a Christian, there's a work of the Father, there's a work of the Son, and there's a work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible here in this verse, it simply says that it's the work of the Father to elect us or to choose us. It's the work of the Son to die for us or suffer for us or to bleed for us. It wasn't the Father who died on the cross, was it? Neither was it the Son who chose us. The Son simply said, Father, if you've chosen them, then I will die for them. I will bleed for them. You have done your part, but I'm going to do my part. That's the work of the Father and the Son. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? It's what we have dealt with in this series. The work of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify out, not a saint, but a sinner. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Before you get born again, before you get saved, before your life is changed, the Holy Spirit begins to separate you out. You can see many sinners in this city tonight and they're enjoying their sin. They don't worry about Dan, or at least they don't tell you. They're not thinking about God. They say, oh, sure, I'll be okay. Sure, I'll go into the ground. Well, when I die, I hope I'll get to heaven. Well, sure, none of us can know anyway. That's what most people will tell you. But I tell you, there are sinners in this city and they're different because the Holy Spirit begins to deal with them. And what we've dealt with in past weeks is that the Holy Spirit in this sanctifying work that He does, this special work that He does in your life, what does He do? He separates you out. You're not just wondering about. He actually targets you and begins to deal with you. He begins to reveal a law of God and say, you're not right. Your actions aren't right. Your words aren't right. Your attitudes aren't right. You're actually a sinner. Now, who is it that does that? It's not your environment. It's a work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the law of God and to bring an awareness of sin. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin. And it's the Holy Spirit who calls you. You're out there in the world, living your life, going in your own direction. And you suddenly hear this call that you never heard before. It's the call of the Holy Spirit saying, come follow Jesus Christ. And that's the Holy Spirit that works. Works in your life. You also, by this work of the Spirit, receive the gospel, or you're separated unto the gospel of Jesus. In other words, you're not just generally believing in God. You come to a place where you believe the gospel. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and He rose on the third day again. You actually get separated or drawn to this gospel. Not a general belief in God, but you begin to say, He died for me. He was buried for me. On the third day, He rose from me. It's not a myth. It's not a story. It's not religiosity. He died for me and He loves me. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who begins to separate you out onto the gospel. Not a general knowledge to God. Many people believe in God in this city, but they don't know the gospel. And the Holy Spirit reveals the gospel. He also brings you to a place of believing the truth. When you begin to say, I believe this. I believe He created all things. I believe if I die and I'm not right, I'm lost. You come to a place where you begin to believe the truth, and also the Spirit brings you to a place where you're sprinkled in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God, saints, that I can say I've been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. If you haven't been washed in the blood, you're still foul and stinking. You're still unclean. You're not acceptable unto God. There's an experience where the Holy Spirit sprinkles you with the blood and He makes you absolutely clean, and there's no more sin, and He washes you as if you'd never ever sinned once in your entire life. Oh, but I'm a gross sinner. I've done many things. I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit applies the blood to your conscience, you lose the guilt and condemnation of years. In one moment, the burden of sin lifts. You're no longer there feeling condemned and guilty and going, what am I going to do if I die? You go, I'm free. I'm washed in the blood. I'm justified. I have been made clean. All of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings you into salvation. He brings you into the born again experience. All of this is what we have called sanctification of the Spirit. He separates you out of the world from all your mates and from your family and from your work colleagues, and He separates you onto a glorious salvation, and you can never be the same again. You might stub your foot. You might hit a brick wall. You might fall flat in your face. But you know what? A real righteous born again believer gets up, dusts himself down and says, I'm going on with them. I might have stumbled, might have taken a long avenue, but I am going on. Why do you do that? Because you're born again. You don't want to be out there in the world. Well, if you want the world, go out there. No, I don't want it. Who is it that bursts that? It is the Holy Spirit. But as we come down to the end of this series, there's something in the verses that we have dealt thoroughly with, which I haven't mentioned yet. The scriptures we've looked at time and time again on this sanctification of the Spirit, I haven't dealt with it yet. And it's this little term, elect or chosen. Wherever you find the sanctification of the Spirit, you get this word mentioned of being elect or being chosen. In other words, somebody who has a real dealing with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he deals with your sin. He absolutely shows you you're a sinner. And he brings you into real salvation. You can never separate that from the election of the Father. First, we begin to experience the sanctification of the Spirit. This is the first work. We begin to feel that dealing of the Holy Spirit. And it's him who brings us to Jesus. Then we meet Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven. But there is another work, and it's the work of election by the Father. Look what we just read here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, elect. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
Do you know some Christians are embarrassed about this word? Do you know in some churches they won't mention this word? They'll read it in a text. I've heard at least two preachers in my lifetime, they're just reading the Bible, the word elect, and they stop and go, I don't believe in that. They put their finger on the word and say, I don't believe in that. What they mean is they don't believe in what some people say about it.
Yeah.
Or their understanding of it. They're embarrassed about it. They don't want to mention it. They don't want to talk about it. I want to tell you, it's in the Bible. Not a political election. Not a national election. But there is an election that involves the real Christian. It says here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. I want you to notice here that it is the Father who elects you, not the Son. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's just a servant. He actually says, you're elect, I'm going to begin working on you. This is why the Holy Spirit does a work in you. The work of the Holy Spirit is the result of the Father doing something. And it says here that you, if you're born again, you are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. What does the word elect mean here? It means to single you out. To select you, to choose you. It literally means that God the Father made a choice. Do you know that if you're here and you're born again and your sins are forgiven, I want you to know tonight that God the Father chose you.
Amen.
He chose you, God the Father. I don't know what God the Father thinks about me. I'm going to tell you, if you're born again, I can tell you what he thinks about you. He says, I want them. Do you know our God isn't a God who says, see if you can get to heaven if you can. See if you can change your life. See if, and you know, he's not hiding himself and saying, see if anyone will come looking for me. Oh no. God the Father comes looking for you. He comes after you. He says, I want you. I don't know if he wants me tonight. Oh yes, he does. He says, I want you.
Yes.
I sent my son to die. I desire you. God the Father said this.
Amen.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect means that God the Father made a choice of certain people. And please notice it uses the word according. That word according means in conjunction with or joined to. In other words, don't separate the word election from the word foreknowledge. How did he choose you? He chose you according to his foreknowledge. What does this word foreknowledge mean? Well, foreknowledge, it's two words joined. It means that the Father had a knowledge of you before.
Yeah.
Before something, before now. Before you were alive, before you were born. He knew you. He actually knew you. And it's in conjunction with that that he made his choice. It was actually out of a heart of saying, I know you. But you didn't exist when he done it. You weren't even born. Your parents weren't even born. And yet he says, I know you. That doesn't mean head knowledge. That doesn't just mean, oh, I know they're going to exist. It doesn't mean that. It means a personal, intimate knowledge and concern. It's the knowledge that I and Candace had. You know, a girl could walk down the street. I used to have a friend from Wales, and he used to always tell me, oh, I know them, and I know them, and I know them. I went, this guy knows everybody. All these people. And I said, you know him? Yes. Really? When did you meet him? Oh, well, I just said hello in passing. I began to realize when he said, I know them, it meant he maybe shook their hand or he heard tell of them or he seen them at the other side of the room. Oh, I know them. His knowledge was very broad. I began to find out it was very narrow. He didn't know anybody. But he thought it was very impressive. Oh, I know them. Oh, I know them. All about them. I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking about a general knowledge someone passed in the street. I'm talking about a knowledge of a relationship, a intimate, warm, burning knowledge of someone. That's what the Father had. And the Bible says his choice was based on his foreknowledge. A knowledge he had about you before. Long before. And he had a desire for you. He said, I desire you. I want you. Can you imagine God the Father who created all things, who sent his son to die on the cross? He was saying, I want you. Don't you ever think that you're worthless. If you ever think you're worthless, you just look away to the Father and you look away to the Son and you look away to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I have a low self-esteem. It's like I always tell you, you better get used to it. You're a lousy, stinking, hell-deserving sinner. We're not here to build up your self-esteem, are we? We are here to say you're a lousy sinner. Oh, but what about my self-worth? You had nothing to offer him. There was nothing good about you. Do you think he'd come knocking and went, here, look at Gary. Out of all of Limerick, this man is outstanding. Look at the marks of righteousness. His eloquence, his knowledge, his brilliance. Look how he treats his mother. Look how he listens to his dad. Look how he doesn't pull his wee sister's hair. Let's save this man. Let's make this man a target. Oh no. Amen. Oh no, that isn't the Bible teaching. When he come to you, you were a lousy, stinking sinner. Yeah. Self-esteem. Get used to it. You were nothing. Yeah. But I want to tell you a truth. When you realize Jesus died for you, I mean, when you realize he died for me, he suffered in my place, I shouldn't be here tonight. When I realize that I didn't even realize it, I'm living my life in sin. And yet the Father says, I choose you. I want you. I desire you. Son, will you go and die for him? Saints, I'm telling you what happened. Son, will you die for him? I want him. But in order to have him and to choose him, it'll mean your death. Are you willing to take that upon you? Are you willing to bleed, to be born as a man, to suffer, to be separated from me on the cross, to feel the agony of saying, Father, where are you? Son, will you do that? Will you allow yourself to be hung between heaven and earth, naked, despised, mocked, with men saying, oh, if you're the Messiah, come down off the cross. If you're God. Son, will you do that? I will, Father. Holy Spirit, if I send the Son, will you go and get them? Will you bring them in? Will you deal with them? Will you go searching for them in the dark places of sin, of religion? And religion is as bad as crime. It doesn't make a difference. The harlot out there in the red light district in prostitution is no different than the Jesuit priest over there. No different. Amen. I would rather attempt to save a prostitute than a priest. You see, this is the work of the Father. The Father desired. He made a choice. And with the Son and the Holy Spirit, they planned redemption. The Father chose you. Jesus died for you and the Holy Spirit came to bring you in. This is what the Bible teaches. Peter writes here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through sanctification of the Spirit. How do you find out that you're elect? How do you find that this was in the heart of God the Father? That he says, I want you. I want you to be brought back to me. I want you to be brought out of time into eternity. And I want to spend all eternity with you. I want you in my presence. I want to enjoy communion with you. I want a friendship and a relationship with you. How do you know that? It is revealed through sanctification of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit, like He revealed your sin, like He revealed the power of the blood to cleanse you, as He done a miraculous work within you to save you, so the Holy Spirit has come to reveal, oh, this isn't the beginning. Oh no, this wasn't where it all began. It wasn't on the day that you got saved. It wasn't on the day that you realized Jesus died for you. This doesn't go back 2,000 years. It didn't begin 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. It goes much further. Paul again, writing in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, and he says, according as He, God the Father, hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. What? When did He choose me? Before the foundation of the world. Before He created the world. Before there was an Adam and Eve. Before there was a humanity on the earth. Before all of that, before man sinned, Adam hadn't even blown it, messed up, and God's already planning your salvation. Oh, but no man's ever sinned yet. Oh yes, He works before time. In eternity past, He knew Adam was going to sin. He didn't want it. He didn't allow it. He didn't tolerate it. But He absolutely knew. He created everything perfect. Man messed it up. Do you know God is always bringing the cure before the curse? God always does that. Before even the curse comes to us, He provides the cure. Amen. In our world, men are always going, a new illness, we'll go looking for the cure. God doesn't do that. Before the curse came, He was already bringing forth the cure. Amen. Paul says, before the foundation of the world. When did the Father choose us? Before the foundation of the world. When did the Father desire us? Before the foundation of the world. Amen. I have searched the Bible for over 20 years trying to find a scripture or scriptures that teach me or tell me, why did the Father choose me? I know I'm chosen. There was a day I didn't know that. But I know tonight, standing here, that I was chosen of the Father. I know it. I wasn't there, I can assure you. I didn't see it. But I know, stand here, I was chosen of the Father. Notice in Ephesians 1:4, it also says, He has chosen us. The Father has chosen us in Him. In who? Christ. Christ. It's only in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Your redemption is in Christ. Your blessings are in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you have nothing. You have no promise of eternal life. You have no forgiveness of sin. You have no eternal hope. You've got no assurance. But in Christ, we have much. Everything is in Christ. If you have the Son, you have everything. Remember the story we said some time back about the auction in America? Or maybe it was Europe or Germany. Who knows? But it was a great auction. A very rich man. Maybe he was as rich as the Rothschilds. I don't know. But he was having an auction. A great auction. And all these rich aristocrats turned out. And you know what? They knew about that room with all the beautiful paintings. And they knew about the wealth that he had in the banks. And they knew about all of his land and his buildings. And you know what? They all turned up. All the relatives who never showed him any love. All the cousins who used to talk behind his back. All the distant relatives who could care less about him when he's going through his troubles. They all turned up to the house. He just died. And here's the day of the auction. And they've come to see what they can get out of all of this. Some easy, cheap pickings. And you know what? They brought everything out and began to sell it. And they said, before we start on the main auction, we just want to sell this one picture. See, he had no one to take the inheritance. His son had died very young many years before. Some 30, 40 years before. His only son had died tragically. He had no one to take the inheritance. And now, in his death, the inheritance was being offered. And the auctioneer held up this scruffy picture. It didn't even have a nice frame. It didn't even look that good, but it was a picture of his son. It wasn't that good. It wasn't a painting, it was a sketch in pencil. And he held the picture up and says, who'll buy this? Nobody was interested. Let's get on to the rich Van Goghs. He had Van Goghs in there. Let's get on to the gold. Let's get on to everything else. Quick, someone buy that for a few pennies and we can get on with the auction. And you know what? There was only one man bid. Didn't go beyond the euro. I'll have it. Do you know who it was? The old gardener. The gardener who was there when that son was born. The gardener who had an affection for the son, a desire for the son. He loved that son. He watched him grow as a little boy. And that old gardener, he worked all his days and he had nothing. His rent was paid. He had everything he needed. He loved the family. But he wanted that picture to remind him of the son. And he bought the picture. And the auctioneer, as soon as that was sold, and they're all laughing at him. All these rich people are laughing at the old gardener with the scruffy picture. Said it got a good owner, didn't it? The right man bought the picture. And they're all laughing and giggling. And you know what the auctioneer done? He hit the table and he says, the auction's over. Everything's gone. And the people were shocked saying, how can it be? Sure, you've only sold a picture. He said, what the old man said was, whoever gets the picture of the son, gets everything. He said, the old gardener has everything. If you get the son, you get everything. You get the houses, you get the fields, you get the blessings, you get the gold, you get the bank account, you get everything. You know what in the Bible? If you get the son, you get everything. Don't worry about trying to work everything out. Well, I don't know if I feel forgiven. And I don't know how well I'm doing. Do you have the son? I don't know if I'm chosen or not. I don't know if God loves me or not. Do you have the son?
Yes.
I don't know if he's guiding me. I don't feel anything. I've gone 2-3 weeks. I don't feel anything. What's wrong with me? Do you have the son?
Yes.
Because if you have the son, you have everything.
Amen.
You have everything. That's where it is. Notice again it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. And I'm going to tell you, you will give thanks if you hear what I'm saying.
Amen.
We are bound. That's what Paul's writing. We are bound. We've been tied up and forced to give thanks. I can't help not giving thanks. I am committed to give thanks. When Paul is writing, I am compelled. I can't keep quiet anymore. You ever been with a Christian that can't keep quiet? Say, he loves me. Well, sure, we all know that. Oh no, he loves me. Yeah, I know. Oh no, he knows. See, compelled to give thanks. And Paul says, giving thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because... Why, Paul? Why are you giving thanks for them? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Why should you be dancing tonight? Because I know that he chose me. I know from the very beginning. When was the beginning? The beginning. John 1:1. For in the beginning was God. That's before everything. In the beginning. What? And you're telling me that I can know that I was chosen to salvation at the beginning. What? Before there was an earth, God chose me. God the Father looked down and said, I am choosing you out unto salvation. What, you're choosing me to get saved? Yes. Do you know why? Because you wouldn't come otherwise. You would not desire it otherwise. So I'm coming. I love you. That's why I send my son. My son who's always been perfect, who's never suffered. I am going to send him to die for you. I'm trying to wake you up and draw you to myself. Do you realize what God the Father has done? He gave his greatest gift, his only son, to die for your sins. He came to you when you're lost. And it says the Father chose you to salvation. If you know you're chosen, you can dance tonight. You can shout, you can rejoice. You may not have a big bank account. You may not know what's going to happen next week. You may not have all the answers or understand all mysteries or be able to talk in tongues or do miracles. But I want to tell you, if you know that the Father chose you in eternity past, that he set his love upon you and said, I want you, I desire you, and I'm going to send my son. That's the price God the Father put on your salvation.
Amen.
He says, I so want you, I so love you, I so desire you, that I am going to send my son.
Amen.
Some people out there say, I can't give up my little bit of sin. The Father gave up his only begotten son. And you're saying, oh, but what about that? Or what about that relationship? Or what about this? Or what about this sin that I love? God the Father gave up his son to die for you. Do you see his love? Do you see the desire, the passion? Oh, he could have created some other way, couldn't he? He might have sent an angel. Or he could have devised some other strategy or plan. I believe there was no other way to reveal the love of his heart and to really let you know what was in the Father's heart. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. You can't separate these two. Why does the Holy Spirit begin to reveal your sin? Why does he begin to apply the law? Why does he stir you up? Why does he begin to show you the truth of the Bible? Because the Father wants you. Do you know what the Father said to the Holy Spirit? Go get them. The Son has died. Now, Holy Spirit, you go get them. Go into all the earth. Go into every nation. Go into every city. Go out to every family. Go find me a people. Redeem them by the blood of the Lamb. Show them what Jesus done on the cross. Reveal my love to them. And make them know my invitation. I'm giving you an invitation to deliver to them just like a postman. Holy Spirit, go get them and bring them back in here that I might enjoy fellowship with them. What does the work of the Holy Spirit come out of? It comes out of election. The work of the Holy Spirit in time dealing with the sinner. It actually has a history. It has a past. All these weeks we've only dealt with what the Holy Spirit does, future tense. He comes to separate you unto. Now we're looking backwards into eternity. And we see, why is he dealing with you? Because the Father sent him. Because the Father chose you. In the church of our day, they're scared to use the word election, lest they be misunderstood. They're embarrassed to use the word, or they're confused about the teaching. Oh, I don't understand those things. Do you have a Bible? How long have you been saved? And you don't know about election? Oh, I'm redeemed by the blood. They don't mind saying that, do they? I know I'm justified. I'm called with the gospel. But what about election? Are you elect? Do you know that you're the elect of God? Do you know that you've been chosen? Do you revel and rejoice? Do you have a revelation tonight that God the Father chose you? I don't mean head knowledge. I don't mean, well, I guess that ought to be true. I mean, does it affect your heart? Has the Holy Spirit opened it up, the mystery of it, and made it real that you melt before him and say, he loved me. God the Father, not only did the Son die for me and the Holy Spirit come to get me, the Father desired me. We can easily neglect the Father, forgetting how much that it was his plan. It wasn't the Son's plan. It wasn't the Holy Spirit's plan. And yet they worked perfectly in unity. This was originally the plan of the Father. And notice it's not the mother. On the radio yesterday, they said, well, we can call God mother as well. No, you can't.
Amen.
Mommy isn't the same as daddy. I can assure you they're different.
Yeah.
They're radically different. You can't turn our father into our mother. It's a different religion.
Yes.
It's radically different. And I want to tell you, God the Father doesn't have the same innate character of a mother. Don't you ever think that. Don't think he both has a mother nature and a father nature. The Bible doesn't teach that.
Yeah.
But God did create that. He created a fullness that we might know. God the Father loved you. He desired you. Notice a few scriptures here. Colossians 3 and 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Do you know what? It's all through your Bible, the elect of God. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. And the other apostles. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, and long-suffering. There's nothing cold about the teaching of election. It is a warm doctrine. It is a passionate doctrine. It is a doctrine that will make your heart burn. It isn't a cold theological teaching that will freeze your brain. This is my God, desire me. And since as the elect of God, let's put on holiness. When you know you're elect, you rise up to these things. Let me give you 7 points on election. First of all, the first three we've already seen here. First of all, election is by the Father. Second of all, it is eternal. It's not in time. He didn't choose you when he saved you.
Yeah.
Do you know what John 17 actually says? 7 times in John 17, it says that it speaks about, and it's Jesus praying to the Father. He said, Father, I'm praying for those that you have given me. 7 times he speaks about you and I as those who the Father had given him. Do you realize you were given as a gift from the Father to the Son? And the Father said, here, Son, here is a gift. We are called his jewels. We are. We may not look like it, but I want to tell you, the Bible says for those who are born again, they are going to shine as jewels on his crown for all eternity. He is going to make up his crown jewels one day. And you know who the jewels are? You are.
Amen.
He saved you out of sin. He got you in the dark places of the earth. Do you know where you find precious diamonds? Not on the surface. Not lying about the ground. I tell you, you have to burrow deep in the ground. You have to dynamite. You have to search. You have to look. And there's diamonds hidden in the darkness and the pressure of this world. And men bring forth those beautiful diamonds. Royalty has always used diamonds. I'm going to tell you, God the Father has been gathering his diamonds all through the years, and they're precious. He paid a great price for them, and he's gathering them. And you know what? There's a day when the Son is going to present them back to the Father again. Say, Father, they're all yours. They're all yours. When did the Father give me to the Son? When did the Father hand me over? Because it wasn't there literally or physically. I wasn't born yet. But the responsibility for me was handed from the Father to the Son. When did he do that? In eternity past. He said, Son, you make sure you bring these ones to me. I want him. I want her. Oh, well, I knocked once and I walked away. Oh, well, I phoned once, they didn't answer, so I didn't bother calling back again. I guess they didn't want to speak to me. Well, I went and tapped lightly on the door. No one there, so I just kept on going. That isn't what the Holy Spirit does. He'll break your door down.
Amen.
Saul of Tarsus, do you want to come? No. I'm on my way to kill Christians. Oh, but surely you must be seeking after me. Surely you must be desperate. No, I don't believe in Christ. I'll murder any Christian I can find. Oh, but it all depends on your will. Really? It all depends on your desire to come. Really? It's not what the Bible teaches. He'll break your door down. He'll sink your boat. He'll turn things upside down to get your attention. He'll allow things to happen to you. He'll disturb your conscience. Because he says, the Father sent me in a message and I'm not going back there without you. He told me to come and get you. And if you think I'm going back up there without you, you've got another thing coming. If I have to drag you there, I'm going to drag you there. If the drawn of I want to bless you doesn't get you, then I'm going to damn you if you don't come.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
You know, John Bunyan wrote a beautiful story about a king besieging Mansoul, a town called Mansoul. And first he sends nice, beautiful letters. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to give you good things. And the barred the door said, we don't believe you. He said, okay, now send a letter. It says, I'll blast you. I'll destroy your walls. I'll conquer you. And he did. He conquered the town. And they thought he's going to kill us all. And when he got in there, he says, I only wanted to share my blessings. You wouldn't come when I invited you. I've had to conquer you. Now I'll set you free.
Amen.
That's what God the Father does. Secondly, it's eternal. Thirdly, it's always in Christ. We've looked at that. But fourthly, it can be known. Election, the election of the Father, it can be known. Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul said, I can know that you're elect. How, Paul? How could you know that they were elect? Verse 3 says, remembering their faith, their love, and their hope. I know that they're elect. That's what Paul said. I know that this church is elect. How do you know? Look at their love. Look at their faith. Look at their hope. I know that you're elect of God. I know it. Oh, but I don't know it. If I have enough time around you, I'll tell you if you're elect or not. Or at least as best as I can tell.
Yeah.
See, you can know that you're elect. You don't go through like going, well, I don't know. I know I'm saved, but I don't know I'm elect. You better find out.
Yeah.
Fifthly, it's personal. I've heard some people say, oh, God only chose Israel. He only chose the church. Generally, he doesn't choose individuals. I've heard preachers say this. Let me quote you a scripture to prove it's personal. Romans chapter 16, 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Who is Rufus? I don't know, but he was elect. He was chosen. He must have been one of those Christians in the church. He's always on, do you know God chose me? Oh, I know, Rufus. No, but you need to understand. I'm elect of God. In eternity past, he chose me and desired me. I know, Rufus, I know. Everybody knew that Rufus had a revelation, that it was personal. He is elect. He is chosen. You see, elections, personal. Do you know it? Do you know it tonight? It's also mutual. 1 Peter 5:13, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you. The church elect, you're elect with others, you're not just elect individually. We, the church, are elect. There's others elect. Election is a mutual thing, not just an individual thing. And lastly, seventhly, it is fruitful. John 15:16, you've chosen me. Didn't say that, did it? Listen to what Jesus says. Remember, it's fruitful. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Oh, Jesus, I don't agree with your theology. You chose me because I chose you. You looked down through time and you saw that I was going to believe, therefore you chose me. That is an election. If he chose you because you first chose him, that is not election. Listen to what Jesus said again. Ye have not chosen me. You weren't looking for me. You weren't saying, I want you. You weren't doing that. I chose you.
Amen.
And brought you in many years ago. I worked the theology of election out. God the Father looked through time, seen and believed, therefore he chose me. I was so proud of my original thinking. Then I found out John Wesley worked it out just like me. So him and me are both geniuses. We both worked out an understood election finally. It's just God looking down. What's the argument? Then as I began to search scripture and seek after God and get on my knees and say, Lord, teach me this book, I suddenly found out you're wrong.
Yeah.
That was the theology of your understanding. You're trying to work things out rather than just believing what Jesus said. You didn't choose me.
Yeah.
I chose you. And I came looking for you. There wasn't anything good in you. This is what Jesus said. Notice what he says. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Notice that election's always fruitful. How do I know someone's elected of God, chosen of God? They'll bring forth fruit. Show me a tree that never brings forth fruit. There's no fruit on it. It's dead. Oh, it might look like a tree, but it's dead. There's no fruit. There's something wrong. Show me a Christian where there's no fruit. They're not chosen. How do I know election? How do I know that someone is chosen by God the Father? They bear fruit. If you are chosen in eternity past, you will bear fruit. We don't all bear the same fruit. Your fruit may be little or it may be great. That's your choice. But every real Christian does bear fruit. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul writes and he says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen." He has specifically, deliberately, sovereignly chosen the foolish things of the world. Amen.
Amen.
The weak things of the world. Amen.
Amen.
The base things of the world and the despised things. God has deliberately chosen these times and says, not many great got in. Saul of Tarsus did. He was a great one. But not many. He chooses the foolish and the despised. He specifically bypasses. And he says, I want you. But I'm nothing, Lord. I'm nothing, Lord. I've got nothing to give you. I want you. I want you. Let me finish with one scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. A very important scripture as we close. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Listen again what Peter says. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. What is diligence? The word actually means use speed. Do something now. Act now. Or give all of your effort, labor earnestly. Put aside everything that you're doing and give your attention to this. Okay, Peter, what am I to give such diligence and labor to? To two things. Make your calling and election sure. All of you in this room must make these two things sure. All of you in this room. Two things. First, your calling. What is the calling? That you know that God has really called you out of sin into Christ. Do you know that tonight? Do you know that the Holy Spirit has called you? Do you know that you've received the invitation to heaven, to salvation? Have you been called? Has the call of God come to your heart? Has the Holy Spirit come knocking on your door saying, God the Father wants you to be saved? He wants you to turn from your sin and to be washed in the blood. Are you sure about that? Do you know in your heart that you've been called? Is it settled in your heart that you're born again? Are your sins forgiven? Has your life been changed? Are you living in Christ? That's the first thing that you're to do. Don't you think about election. You see, election isn't for sinners. No sinner is to worry about election. If you're not saved tonight, don't you worry about election. You can't know that you're elect. All that matters is, do you want to turn from your sin? Do you want to be born again? Because the Bible does say that God won't reject anyone. You want to come, He'll receive you tonight. If you want to come and be forgiven tonight, He will forgive you tonight. Oh, but I tried. No, you didn't. He'll accept you tonight. He's there saying, I desire you. I want you. Will you accept me tonight? Will you come tonight? Will you be forgiven tonight? All you have to do is get down by your bed tonight and begin to cry out to Him and begin to say, save me, a sinner. You died for me.
Amen.
You sent your son for me. I know that you love me. Will you change me? I don't want to continue the same. I don't want to put it off the next week or next year. Make your calling sure. The word sure actually means stable, firm, settled, steadfast, beyond question. I know that I'm called. I know that I'm saved. Tonight, if you know that you've been called, that you're born again, you then have a second responsibility. You must give yourself to this. If you have any doubts about your election, that God the Father in eternity past set his love on you and chose you, you need to make it sure. Make your calling and election sure. Do it now. Oh, well, I'll see if he reveals it to me in a year's time. No. No, give yourself, give labor, begin to study the scripture. We are only beginning on this. Begin to read, to get a concordance, look for the word elect, or chosen, or predestination, and begin to read your Bible. Just read those scriptures and say, Father, show me. Holy Spirit, reveal to me. I want to know. I want it absolutely settled in my heart that I know that my salvation is not a thing of time. Not a thing of circumstances, not a thing of chance, but in finding myself born again, there was a plan before God even created the planets. Please stand with me tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's bow our heads. Let's just pray. Where are you in this room? See, tonight, as we come to the end of this message, where are you? I believe God the Father is here. I believe he's here, standing here. He is here by the Holy Spirit. He is a God who's come out of eternity. What more do you want him to do? He sent his son to die on the cross for you. He come to reveal his love for you by allowing your sin to be placed on him. When Jesus died on the cross, it was for your sin. Your sin sent him to the cross. This is the only way you could be born again. If you look tonight by faith, if you look by faith to the cross, and you see that Jesus died for you, that your sin was so terrible, that he suffered for you, that he bare it on him, that he was separate from the Father. He couldn't even feel the Father because of your sin. Tonight you can be forgiven. Look and believe tonight. Look unto Jesus Christ tonight. Let faith come into your heart. Believe it tonight. Put faith in the Lamb. Say, I will believe. I do believe that Jesus died for me. Allow the Holy Spirit to make it real in you. You can be changed tonight. You can be born again tonight.